Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Twinkie, the Clark Sisters.
Yeah.
Greetings and blessings, greetings and blessings, greetings and blessings and greatness. I am coming to you live from Sankofa Infinity Holistic Ministries by way of BTR, using transcending Sankofa as my topic and subject of my show. I tell you, that song, I have to listen to it again. I don't know about you, but the minute that song came on, I was, it put me in a space and a place within myself that, you know, I just have to be grateful for whatever. Whatever it is, however it is, however it's going to be, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. And in that gratefulness, I have the ability, the potential, and the capacity to make a choice and redirect the focus of my energy into something which is good for me and my greatest, highest potential. So I'm going to listen to that again. I ask that you listen to it with me. And I'll be right back again. You're listening to your host, Yahshua Elohim, Transcending Sankofa by way of BTR, Sankofa Infinity Holistic Ministries. Thank you. Be back.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Twinkie, the Clark Sisters.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clark Sisters. Oh, my God. You know what? It is truly a blessing when you can sit in the comfort of your own home with yourself, not by yourself, but with yourself, and be just as excited, enthused, and happy as you would be with a group of people. That's how you can measure how well you have a relationship with yourself. Because if you can get in the comfort of your own, be with yourself and be excited about just being with yourself. And when you hear music, the music itself corresponds with that happiness that you got going on with being with yourself. Ha! Oh, just know it's on. Just know it's on. You got it. You got it. You got it. And you understand that you are it. Nothing else outside of you can be it unless you make it it. But you are it. And I am so grateful that I can just play these songs back. And they're old. They're old songs. Back in the 90s, I believe. Some of them. Play them back and listen to them as if I am listening to them for the very first time out of my mother's womb. Out of my mother's womb. That is something good. That is something good. I hope you heard me. I hope you heard me. But I'm going to say it one more time. It is a blessing when you can be with yourself in the comfort of your own home and nobody else is around. It's just you with yourself, and you can get so excited and happy over just being with yourself. And then you play music that corresponds to that happiness that you have with just being with yourself. Now, I say being with yourself, not being by yourself, being with yourself, possession there. Oh, my goodness. Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's no one outside of me. There's nothing outside of me that can do what my divine does from within me. Nothing. 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 And sometimes I have to get out of, push myself out of the way. Sit down. I have to sit down. But it's just a blessing. It is a blessing. I woke up this morning, and of course it was already told to me that we were focused on the external powers, in which I spoke on last week in regards to honoring one another, honoring thyself, and all is one. Those are there are three external powers that we should focus on. This should be a foundation of who we are as spiritual beings. But I woke up this morning and I just found, I felt refreshed and brand new. And I'm not saying that I don't feel refreshed and brand new every day, because I do. But some days are a little bit more pronounced than others. They're more pronounced. There's something different about them. Perhaps the spices have been changed, or, you know, something that has come into view. But nevertheless, I got up this morning. I did my prayers, my meditation, my contemplation, what I always do. Spent time with the tablets. Spent time with my tablets. And, you know, just bask in the moment of that time and space, that presence, in the presence of that. And when I came out of that, I received this text from a dear friend of mine, And she said that she was going grocery shopping or whatever. And I think we start talking about incense or something. But anyway, and I might not be, it's all mixed up, so I'm paraphrasing. But she says on the text, do you want me, I'm going to such and such. Do you need anything? See, that's what the divine does for you. When you are in alignment with that divine self, that divine spirit, you have your friends calling you or texting you and saying, look, I am going. Do you want anything? Okay? Let me take it to another level. I have neighbors, okay? I have neighbors around me. When your neighbor comes to you and say to you, we are going to the store. Do you need anything? That right there is a validation of what the divine can do for you if you just get in alignment with it. I am so excited about it. I can't stand it. I can't barely stand it. That is what the divine does for one. It will draw all men unto you. Your bosom pressing down, shaking together, and running over. Forgive me. I'm excited right now. I just, because it just dawned on me. It just, now get this, get what I just said. I said it just dawned on me. That's D-A-W-N. The break of day just came open for me. My soul just opened up to what the divine brings into my life and how it will operate in my life if I stay in alignment with it and faint not in that alignment. I am so excited today. I'm overflowing with joy right now. I'm just overflowing with joy. And you know what? Ain't no one else around. It ain't but nobody but me, myself, and I. And we are having a party up in here. You hear me? We are having a party up in this place. And can't nothing outside of it, outside, compare to it. I'm here to tell you, folks. I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to inspire you, to encourage you, to stay in alignment with your divine self. Check yourself when you feel like things are uneasy and uncomfortable. Check yourself. Get in a relationship with yourself. Get in a relationship with yourself. These days, so many people are so focused on having a relationship with somebody else, do not have a relationship with themselves. They don't have a relationship with themselves, therefore they cannot maintain a healthy relationship outside of themselves. They can't. It's distorted, it's fragmented. You know, they're always on the defense. And, you know, let me tell you something. Let me speak something. Defense people. Defense is a very subtle. It's a very subtle thing. And mindful of what you're listening to or what you're looking at, you are passing on as sarcasm. But let me bring you up on something. Sarcasm is a form of defense mechanism, okay? That's what a defense mechanism is. It's a form of sarcasm. So when a person is being sarcastic with you, they're defending. They are defending something. And you probably, without knowing, you have attacked, or not attacked, you have threatened. You threaten their character, their personality, and more, more, you have questioned their sanity. Okay? Listen to what I'm saying. This is why I enjoy engaging with people is because I get to observe, all right? I am the observer. I am the witness of that which is going on. Now, if for any reason I speak up on what I am observing, then whatever I am observing is inside of me. And then on top of that, I get more of it. But when you bring it, when you observe it, and you know that it has nothing to do with you, it has absolutely nothing to do with you, and whatever is going on with this person, place, thing, or idea, whatever is going on, that's just how they are. That is just how they are. So when you can meet a person where they are, there it is, make a decision based on the growth, your growth, how soon you want to grow in this situation. And not only that, if you find yourself in a situation and you step outside of it and you ask yourself, what is this here for? Yourself is going to tell you the lesson. It's going to give you the lesson. But you are the one with the free will, the will to make your mind free. You're the one that has to make a decision to say, okay, I'll do this. I'll take it. I'll take this test. Because in taking this test and going through what I consider an obstacle course, not an emotional roller coaster, but an emotional obstacle course, you get the prize at the end, but you got to stay in the obstacle course. And that's up to you. That's up to you. Only you and your soul know how much you can bear in a situation. But honey, let me tell you something. When you come out of it and you look back and you see that whole, remember what I said? The whole forest, oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because in that time and space, you have become the light. You have become the light. And I think, absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And not only that, you can pick and choose what you want to learn, who you want to learn it from, when you want to learn it from, and how long you want to be in it. But I'm going to tell you this. This is the kicker, because I posted this on Facebook, is that when you know you're in a spiritual lesson, okay, and it is for your spiritual, the cultivation of your spirituality. When you know that, it is good to stay in that space until it comes to a completion. Because if you don't, you're going to wind up taking another test with someone else. And not only that, if you forfeit the lesson that has been brought to you based on your own soul drawing, you're going to be recycled and you're going to start all over again. And who wants to be recycled and put back? I don't know about you, but you know, when I started school, and I have stated this before, in regards to me having a reading disability and what have you. Well, the second grade, I still could not register what in the hell was going on with me. I still could not grasp the concepts and comprehend properly in the second grade. So what happened? I was placed back Okay? I was put back. I was recycled. It's not, it wasn't a good feeling then. Sure ain't gonna be no good feeling now because I know better. Because I know better. And because I know better, maybe the burden behind it is a little bit more intense because I know better. But yeah, I'm like, stick with the test in which your soul has already drawn unto you. And when it is done, when that is complete and over, you can walk away. You just simply walk away. It is simple to walk away and say, hey, it is what it is. But this is my data. This is my data. And I am well pleased with my data that I have inquired or I have accumulated through the experience, because the data brings forth more light, more light, more light within you as an individual. So, for me, it just lets me know how much I love me, how much I enjoy my being in my soul's purpose and growing with it no matter what. Because my goodness, my Lord, I know I have been into some rough, rough places in my life where I could have been locked up. I could have lost my life. Okay? I could have been dead. I could have been that person. I could be walking around here with one limb or no limbs at all. I could be walking around here blind and cannot see. You know, I could be that. But grace, nothing but grace. All I can say is grace. Do I know what that grace looks like? No, I don't, but I know what it feels like. And that's the only thing that I need to validate my experiences that I have with the divine in relationship to everything that I experience. And in knowing that, everything that comes into my life is used for the good and the betterment of me, of my divine being. And as it is used as the betterment and the greatness of my divine being, I can be that to humanity, to the people around me. Always, I enjoy going. Matter of fact, this was an experience of mine. And I've had this experience before, but I didn't really say or think about what it was. But I have a very low haircut, so I do go to a barber shop. And I went into this barber shop. There was no one there. There was no one there in that barber shop. And perhaps within 10 minutes of me being there, people start straggling in. They just start coming in. And I'm like, I want to be that. I want to be the light that draws people into a space. And it is my desire to be in the presence of people and be able to heal those people without even touching them or saying anything to them. But my mere presence and the divine within me, in harmony with one another, balanced and in alignment with one another, radiates a light that just swoops everybody up. It touches them wherever they need to be touched. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to lay my hands on them. You know, as Reiki masters, that's all we want to do. Every time we see somebody, we want to put our hand on, especially if we know that they got some type of illness, we want to run to them and heal them and lay our hands on them. No, you ain't even got to do that. Because as a Reiki master, let me tell you something. You become mastered by the Reiki. You don't master the Reiki. The Reiki masters you. And you obey it. You obey it. I had this other situation to come up. And I'm going to tell you, me and my soul and my divine being, my spirit, I mean, we be having it out. Because I be trying to negotiate myself out of some situations that I really don't care to be in. But you know what? I come to the realization of knowing, and it came on to me all so suddenly. And it's such a cliche. People say it all the time, but they don't know what in the they talking about. It came on to me as, it ain't about you. It ain't never about you, Yahshua. What make you think it ain't about you? Mm-mm. It's about the people around you that you have to heal, touch, be in the presence of, and they have to be in your presence. It is not about you, sister, to really, really, I mean, really, really cut back the fat on that because I was puffed up. Thinking, oh, it's all about, I ain't got to do this and I ain't going to do this. You know, when you come into the alignment with the divine, it's not, you don't have the luxury of saying, you just don't have the luxury anymore to say, this is about me and I'm going to do this. You just don't have the luxury of saying it. But I tell you what, I will say this, is that when the divine lets you know that it is not about you, what has happened is all that static that you had going on around that decision, the divine sifts it away, just cuts it away. And you don't know that it's being cut away because, you know, we go about our lives and we do our thing and we enjoy life. But in the midst of all the enjoying and the adversity, because the adversity is what brings about the elevation, the cultivation, and the expansion of one's consciousness and flows you into the overflow of your soul. Adversity does that. This is why you have to have it. Contrast brings clarity. Out of chaos, there's order, okay? You have to have those things. And when you're in alignment with the divine, that's it. I mean, you may wrestle. You may be like Jacob and wrestle. Wrestle until you see the blessing and whatever else, what you have to do. And you may come out of the fight with a limp. Let me go ahead and put that on record. You might come out of the fight with a limp, but I guarantee you will know that it is the divine that has designed a thing for the development of your soul to come into alignment with the divine. The divine to me is the spirit. So, and I use the words interchangeably, because it's all the same. It's all the same. You can't speak about one and not speak about the other. So this is why things, when you hear a lot of other instructors and teachers talk, it's almost like, it sounds like they're being contradictive, but they're not. It's just the whole. They're speaking about the whole and not in parts. And that's what I mentioned the other day, is that, you know, when I look at the body and when I look at Sankofa, holistic, Sankofa Infinity Holistic Ministry. I have to focus on the whole of the body. That means mind, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. The mind, to me, the mind is composed of the body. The body is in the mind, and so forth and so on. All of those, and I stay focused on those three, but they work interchangeably. This is why we have the Trinity. And, I'm not even sure, as time goes on and we move from one generation to another, we move from one tradition to another, and our belief systems change from this to that to this to that, words change. Words change. So whatever was body, soul, and mind has turned into body, soul, and spirit has now turned into Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then so forth and so on. And now you have this whole bouquet of flowers. Yet they're saying the same thing. They're doing the same thing. They're radiating the same beauty. They're just doing it from a different degree. They're doing it from a different frequency. But they're all working together to bring about the whole. And you can't separate the part from the whole, because the part is the whole. But it needs to be in this place. I just think, it's amazing to me how we are as universes, okay? We are one verse, yet many others. We are like Christians, or the Bible says, we are one body, yet many members, okay? That's what makes up the church. You have the pastor as the head, and then you have the congregation as the members of the body within the church. And every body has its function. And this is within all organizations. It doesn't matter. You're going to have it. You have to have the head. You have to have the members. Okay? And then the members distribute and disperse out into their functions. And then they operate in those faculties. And now, oh my goodness, now we have the tree of life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? We have the tree of life. And everybody is working together to keep the alignment of the chakras within that organization in tune with the head. I just find it absolutely amazing. Stand back and look, and I see with the eyes of God. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm going to say this. When I say seeing with the eyes of God, I'm letting you know I'm only seeing part. Because if I really see with the eyes of the divine, think about it. My body cannot hold that much energy. It's not designed to hold that much energy. Yet it's designed to hold parts, pieces, pebbles, pearls, So I'm ever so grateful for everything. And I'm grateful for my family, in which I was born into the lineage, but I'm also grateful for the family that I have created here in Long Island. Because when I came here, I had absolutely nothing. I had no friends. I had no family. It was just me, myself, and I. And I had to rely on that relationship that I had with me, myself, and I. See there? The Trinity. There it is again. My body, soul, and spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come on. This is not, think about it. We're all is one and one is all. Honor thy neighbor as thou honor thyself. Tap into that internal power which lies within the solar plexus, the stomach. Okay? That's that energy, that's that vortex, that data base. I call that base because that's what it is. You know, when you hear base, I mean, you hear so much. You hear the you feel the power of it, that base. The solar plexus, to me, that power base, you know. And that power base in me is what allows me and permits me to speak my chakra from my fifth chakra, my throat chakra. That's what allows me to speak with such clarity and confidence and humility, I might add. Some people may think I don't have humility and I'm stuck up and I'm all... No. No. I don't have that luxury anymore, you know, to be stuck up and stuck on myself. But this natural and earthly grounded as they come. And I'm grateful to be an aspect of the wholeness of all that is and all that will ever be. I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to point to the light and move myself into that light. I am so grateful. I remember when I began my journey back in the late 90s. And I became so frustrated and spiritually bankrupt because what I was seeking or what was going on with me, no one had an answer to that. No one had an answer to that. And I had to get with myself. Okay? I went on a fast. A long fast. And I want to say it was 40 days. But you know what? It could have been 4 days. But in the spiritual... It could have been 40 days to me. But in the spiritual realm, it was just 4 days. But no, I'm just, hypothetically speaking. But after that fast, after I had come to myself and gathered myself together, and myself had gathered itself together within me, with $34 in my pocket, I went north. $34. So, and now here I am in New York, 2006. I know what the divine can do. I know what the relationship with the divine can do, for one. But you have to be willing, and your heart has to be open to embrace the grace of it, because that's what it is. It's just so much grace, and it's gentle. It is so gentle, so subtle, and you don't even know it's happening. It's just so subtle. It's a double-edged sword that goes in, comes out. But when it's all over, you know something has taken place within you. There has been a shift within your being. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. This is the Clark Sisters. I grew up on them as well. You know, I used to stand up in the kitchen with my grandmother, and I used to watch my grandmother hover over the kitchen sink. And she would be either cleaning chitlins or she would be cleaning collard greens. She would be cleaning something. But that moment of time in which I spent with my grandmother, that was quality time for me. I would have this little boom box and I would be listening to all this gospel music and just spending time with my grandmother. And we're not even talking to each other. She's doing her thing, I'm doing her thing, doing my thing. We just love the company. We just enjoy this being in the presence of one another. That's the purest form of quality time. Yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna let you listen to some more Clark sisters, and I'll be back with you. This is Yahshua Elohim, your host, Transcendent Sankofa, by way of BTR as my platform. Sankofa Infinity Holistic Ministries, doing our thing.
Every time I pray, you kept me each and every day. You heard me every time I pray. You help me each and every day. You heard me every time I pray. You help me each and every day.
Divine is where I will live, move, and have my being all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Because I know, and can't nobody tell me I don't know. I've been in some places, some hardcore places that have put me into some ugly, ugly, dark spaces and places within my mind. Now, I want you to understand this is because you have circumstances. Yeah, you have situations and conditions that happen outside of you, okay? But in your mind, there's something that happens, okay? And it blows up, it magnifies the circumstances, situations, and conditions. And if you're not careful about how well, you're centered within yourself, everything that you see and experience in life will give you a distorted view of how the world is. And it's not even about the world. It's about what's going on inside of you that makes the world the way it is. Okay? It's what's going on, it's your perception, the incoherence of your perception is distorted by misalignment, misalignment, miseducation. Yeah. So when you find yourself going through some stuff, or just in general, just being among people, look at yourself. Be mindful of yourself. What's going on with you while you're in the company of these people? Because you know what? If you're not careful, you know what's going to happen? Something's going to happen within that circle, and you're going to wind up projecting onto the situation. And when you project, it's that projection is coming from a distorted perception that resides within you. So this is what I say to you. If you are aware that you may be projecting, I challenge you to pull that projection back and turn it within so that you can look at it for yourself and see where it's coming from. See where the thought seed of it is coming from. Because there is a seed that is manifesting and giving forth that fruit within that projection. there is a thought seed. Everything starts within the mind, and then it is perceived out. It is perceived out. Okay? So be mindful of that. Be mindful. Always, you know, if you're going to be vigilant about anything, be vigilant about yourself. Be looking at yourself. If you really want to look at somebody and pay attention to somebody and watch somebody, watch yourself. Why don't you watch yourself? Okay? Watch yourself and see what it is that you need to see in regards to yourself, and help yourself with that discordant and straighten it out. Straighten it out so that you can be satisfied and in alignment with the divine, okay, that resides within you. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you don't get into alignment, or you're not moving towards the greater good of the alignment of the divine itself will lay down dormant. It will lie dormant because it cannot impose itself on your free will. You have the will to free your will to be in the will of the divine, and all will go well with you. All will go well with you. If you free your will to be in the will of the divine, all will and shall go well with you. It's just, there's no need to take thought. Of course, you have the practical things of life that you need to stay focused on and you need to do, but really there's no need for thought. Take no thought for tomorrow, for it is already taken care of. You know, I used to have this thing whenever I would get ready to dress myself and go out into community and into the world, you know, I would go through this thing with dressing myself. But, you know, I come to find, and I realize that I don't dress myself. I don't dress myself. The divine tells me what to put on, and then I come into agreeance with what it has said to me. Huh? And let me tell you, this is how I know it is the divine and not I. Because when I go out into public, okay, and I'm with someone or I'm with a group of friends, someone will say, "I like it when you wear that." Or they'll say, "I love that color on you." And it's not even about you wearing the color, it's the color itself, because the color itself radiates a vibration, a frequency, in which that person needs in their space as a divine being. That's what I'm talking about. That's how, that's how it is, folks. That's how it is. You know, think about it. If the divine can instruct you on how to feed yourself properly, then surely it will tell you, it will instruct you on what you need to be wearing. You don't even need to get concerned with the why. But anyway, I think I have a caller here. I'm not really sure. And I usually don't take callers.
Hello,
this is Sankofa Infinity Holistic Ministries. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael. How are you? I'm well. I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. I think my signal was breaking up. I don't know why. I wasn't able to hear you for a little bit, but now it's working good.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
so
no,
do you,
I was, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, do you have a question or comment about something?
Yeah, no, I was just first time listening to the show, and I was just trying to get an understanding exactly, like, what's your background, and like, because I wasn't quite sure. Are you a Christian, or are you? Because I wasn't totally able to figure that out.
Why is that important? Is that important?
Well,
to
I
you?
Mean, well, yeah, too, because I saw the title. One of the names on the title was Yeshua Elohim. So I don't know if that was inferring that you're a follower of Yeshua, or you just using the name for a different reason. I just trying to figure that out.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. You know what? I would tell you to wait till the book come out, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a snippet.
Okay.
I come from a Christian background, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I come from a Christian background. However, I don't really consider myself your traditional Christian. If I dare say that I am a Christian, I am an expanded and elevated Christian. My name is a spiritual name. It was given to me by way of a spiritual transformation back in the late 90s. Okay? So you're going to hear, if you listen to my show, and you bring up a good point, because you listen to my show and it is a mixture of things, and that's where the expansion and the elevation of who I am that comes, you know, that you hear, touching on all, I'm touching on a lot of things, okay? I don't touch on parts, and I have stated that. I don't do parts, I do the whole, and I try to speak from a whole perspective.
Okay, so do you believe in God, or... Do you believe in a higher power at all?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
Okay. And what is God to you? Because some people I meet that, you know, have more of a lean, like they consider themselves spiritual. Sometimes they define God as just like an energy. Do you define him as a personal being, as a creator? Or how do you, who's God to you?
Well, I don't think, you know, you can't define God. God is. You know, God is whatever it is. God is the all that is. So, and that's how I experience God, or however you want to say it. You know, I experience it as the all that is.
Okay. So, does the God you believe in, is there a form of justice?
Form of justice. There's a form of cause and effect. There's a law of cause and effect. That's what I know to be true. Whatever man soweth, he shall reap. So if you are sowing injustice, you're going to reap injustice. You live by the sword. You will die by the sword. Okay?
Okay, so I'll give you an example of what I mean. Let's say, I'll give you a hypothetical. Let's say I'm in court, right? And let's say I'm guilty of theft and murder. And all the evidence is laid out. I'm clearly guilty. So, and let's put the God that you believe in, let's put him in the role of the judge in the situation. Would the judge then say to me, if I were to say to the judge, you know, I know what I did was wrong, but I donate a lot of money to charity. I've worked in soup kitchens. I've helped a lot of people. I've done all these other good things. Can those good things somehow outweigh the crime I committed? And would that somehow let me off the hook? Is that a possibility with the God you believe?
No, because
okay.
You have
yeah.
the law of cause and effect. There's no way of getting around that. Okay, you can work off your karma. You can work off your karma, but you're going to have experiences that are going to weigh heavily on the crime in which you have committed.
Right, so
there's nothing but law. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There is a law of cause and effect. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. Now, the judge may let you go, and you may feel like you have done a lot of good things in life, and you should go. And that is okay, too. But in the end, internally, you're going to meet that cause. You're going to meet that cause with an effect, and it's all internal.
Right.
There's no way around that.
Okay, so then you would agree then so the situation of saying weighing my good, if my good outweigh my bad, that doesn't excuse the bad I did. I'm still responsible for the bad things I did.
Oh yeah.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to see that. Okay. So then another one would be if I could just simply let's say same situation, but this time I say to the judge or God in this case, what I did was wrong. Could you just please forgive me of it and let me go? Now, do you believe in that situation?
There's nothing to you forgive yourself. God is, I mean, don't ask God to forgive you, because there's no forgiveness there. There's nothing for God to forgive. It is you forgiving yourself. And the mere fact that you would even ask such a thing is a telltale sign that you need to forgive yourself. But even in learning to forgive yourself, you're going to reap the seed in which you have sowed. Everything begins and ends with you.
Okay, so let me follow this correctly. So the God you claim, you're saying that he enforces a cause and effect, but this concept of you reap what you will sow. If you do what's wrong, wrong will be done to you. Like you said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. But then conversely, you pointed out about not asking this God for forgiveness, which then kind of begs the question being, if your God is like that, then are you saying that your God is not the one who ultimately enforces justice? So if he
saying,
doesn't. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, that's it.
I'm saying there's a law, and it's called cause and effect. Let's cut out all this talk about forgiveness, because at the end of the day, there is no forgiveness. Forgiveness itself is a concept, okay? And if it is a concept, it is nothing more than an illusion that is perceived from the mind. At the end of the day, there's a law, and that law is called cause and effect. Whatever you do
okay,
it's going to affect you here.
So justice and injustice is just an illusion, from your perspective.
It's a concept, yeah.
But it's ultimately nothing. It's just an illusion. That's what you're referring to. So there is no such thing as justice. It's just an idea.
Yeah, everything is an illusion.
Oh, let's look at the big picture, what you're referring to. So then, if that's the case, so you would then believe that something like, say, morality is nothing but just a subjective concept. It's just something that's autonomous to each individual. It's not a real thing. It didn't exist prior to the human mind, is what you're saying.
Yes, you have to understand that everything that is created now is created from the mind of man, okay? Is that not true?
Well,
so
how can that, if man only existed for X amount of time and man wasn't the first thing that existed, ultimately I'll give it to you like this. If morality, in its sense, is just a subjective thing, that it's just your preference, my preference, his preference, no different than your taste of your favorite flavor of ice cream. If that's what morality ultimately is, then there's no such thing as right or wrong. Thus, there's no such thing as justice. Thus, there's no such thing as ethics at all. Like, all ethics would be nothing, right? That's what you ultimately believe?
I don't believe anything you're saying, what you're thinking, I'm believing. Okay, this is what I know to be true. I know to be true that everything is an illusion. Okay? In within the realm of spirituality, okay? Spirituality, there is no right nor wrong. There are only degrees, okay? And when I speak of degrees, if I say the water is cold, does it mean that it's not hot? No, it just means that it's a matter of degrees. It's cold to me,
okay,
but it may be hot to you. So there is no right nor wrong. There's no this duality, this way of thinking in regards to duality. All of that must come into one and come to a realization that it's just one. It's just the oneness of something. It's just a oneness of something. There is no duality. It is created from the mind of the man. Darkness and light. But you don't never bring those together. All is one and one is all.
Okay, so let's give you a more realistic situation we're talking about here. I'll give you an example. Right? America's had in the last 20 years more than 50,000 unsolved murders. Give you an example. This is just a tiny tidbit of what's happened throughout the history of mankind. Now, these 50,000 unsolved murders, for example, the killer was never brought to court, never brought to justice. Basically, they got away with it. So in your worldview, when this person dies, they officially got away with committing a crime, and there was no justice ultimately in the universe. They got away with it.
You think they got away with it? I don't.
No, I'm saying, like, if the God you're talking about doesn't, there's no justice, the justice is just an arbitrary idea that's just a product of the human mind, then by your own words, justice is not even real. It's an illusion. And if it's just an illusion, then if someone commits a murder that doesn't ever get brought to trial or justice here in this world, then ultimately they got away with their crime scot-free. If you think about that, what other conclusion could you make?
No one gets away scot-free. I mean, just because I don't see the person who committed the murder brought to justice and he died, I'm not gonna say that, you know, he never did, he was never punished for his crime. I'm not gonna say that, because I know that there's a greater law working, and I don't have to see it working. I just have to know that it is working. Okay, I just know that it works. So, you know, we can. And I'll give you a situation. I was assaulted as a child. Okay.
Okay.
As a child. When I was a child, I never seen anyone brought to justice. I never seen them brought to justice. But guess what? I know they suffered, because in the end, I got the whole picture. I didn't have to see them suffer. But in the end of their life, I got the whole picture. So it didn't matter if they were brought to justice or they were laid out for labor. It doesn't matter. I know that there's a divine working plan that brings people where they need to be. And that's called cause and effect. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. It's cause and effect. Cause and effect.
Yeah, I'm trying to pin down, because cause and effect is a very ambiguous thing. And what I'm trying to get you to get to the conclusion of it, and trying to see if you can see where I'm coming from, while I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, is that when you initially talked about how there's no such thing as justice, and now you're talking about that there's a divine plan that enforces cause and effect. So now what you did is you kind of went away from your initial point to now you're inferring that the God you're talking about actually does enforce some form of justice. You just want to call it something different. Now you're calling it cause and effect, and you're saying that ultimately these people, there are some kind of ramifications that will come on them in some way for the evil that they did. it may not be something that you and I may see, but in some way, shape, or form, something's happening to them, and that there has to be then a God behind it that's enforcing it. Therefore, justice does exist by definition, by what you're telling me.
I call it cause and effect, and I think I mentioned that in the beginning of the show. So I'm not going to play these word games. You use justice and injustice. Yeah, it is a word game.
It's not a word game. It's just defining it. Like, okay, I understand. Now I think I understand why you don't want to call it justice. Maybe you refer cause and effect, because justice leads one to point out that there's a judge behind it or an enforcer of a law. And I think
man can do it to you. Only man can do it to you. But cause and effect, can't no man touch that. See, that's a divine working plan. Can't no man touch cause and effect. He can only be a participant in in the act of it. But he can't.
But okay.
He's not the one.
So you're saying
created.
That your God is enforcing cause and effect. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Why do you keep saying your God? My God? I don't have a God. I trust the all. The God is a German word for one, okay? So we're not doing the divine any good by calling it God, okay? All, I trust and I know of the all based on my experience that I've had with that all. Now, your experience may be something completely different, and that is okay, because we are entitled to have separate experiences when it comes to the all. So, I mean, what is it that you want? And what is it that you're trying to tell me?
Okay, so when you were defining the spiritual aspects of the all or God, whatever you want to call the being or whoever made all this, is that my first question to you was about weighing the good versus bad. And can the good just outweigh the bad or cancel out and excuse that? And you said, no, that's... You don't agree with that, right? Or you don't think that's plausible. Now, the reason I mentioned that was that's precisely the way, say, a Muslim views Allah, and that's how they view their God system, of that they're weighed out and their good cannot weigh their bad, so that their good can actually cancel out the bad they've done. In fact, they go further by saying Muhammad taught them that each good deed counts as 10 and each bad deed counts as 1, right? So just logically, any person approaching that could realize that's a flawed view, because we all, every human being understands justice to a certain degree, right? And so you clearly point out that's not accurate. So if you agree that that's not something that's plausible, then every definition of God or spirituality can't all be right at the same time. The law of non-contradiction says A and B, if they disagree, cannot be both correct. Either one is right, one is wrong, or they're both wrong. But they both can't be right at the same time if they contradict one another. You would agree with that?
This is what I agree with. Cause and effect. And that's my final answer. Whatever you're trying to get to, I see it as cause and effect. That's my answer.
So do you believe in logic?
I see cause and effect.
But, I mean, cause and effect isn't the only thing. I mean, there's other universal laws.
Absolutely.
So there's logic. There's different – I mean, we can talk about scientific laws, but there's specifically from a philosophical standpoint, there's logic, right? So you would have to believe in the law of non-contradiction. Otherwise, you couldn't do math. You would agree with that?
Well, based on your interest in calling this show, my final answer for you is cause and effect.
Is that just so you just don't want to answer the question? I don't understand, because that didn't have anything to do with what I just said.
My final answer for you is cause and effect. If I want to go down a rabbit hole, I would choose the rabbit holes that I go down. But this one, I choose not. My final answer is cause and effect.
It's not a rabbit hole. It's because, for example, if two people are in a different viewpoint of things, let's say two people have totally different worldviews, right? Oftentimes, if you want to get another person to understand your worldview or have a different perspective, you don't come in and just ultimately put your idea versus their idea and bam, that's it. That's not how any agreements are ever made. You have to present things from different angles to allow them to be able to see things from a different perspective or to see a certain information or certain conclusions from an angle they hadn't seen it before. And oftentimes, the most best way to do it is to do word pictures or to go through different situations or hypotheticals to allow them to see so that they can visually or through their imagination see the different perspective. And so you may call it a rabbit hole, but what I'm trying to do is trying to get you to, first of all, apply critical thinking to certain ideals, because when it comes to spirituality, people become so ambiguous that for whatever reason, they don't apply the same logical, critical thinking they would in any other part of life. Because people like ambiguous.
Stop, Michael.
Because now
Stop.
You're not beholden
Stop.
To anything.
First of all, you have no clue what I am, who I am. You don't know my educational background. You don't know anything about me. You just know how I have been speaking on this show, little snippets here and there. But you don't know anything about me. You don't know how critical I am, because I am. Trust me. I'm saying to you that my final answer for you is cause and effect. I do my show, and just like all the other broadcasters, we do our show from our own vantage point. If you have an own vantage point and you feel like you got something to say, then you need to create your own show. And then I'll come on and question you, okay? But for right now, I'm going to go ahead and close out this conversation. I thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. You're speaking to Sankofa Infinity. Hello? 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 Okay, that was, I love that. I love that. But hey, you got to know who you are to stand on your ground, your ground. I trust that everybody else has a vantage point, but when you're firm and you're confident in the vantage point and what you speak from, let no man sway you otherwise. With that, I'm going to go ahead and end my show, Transcending Sankofa with Yahshua Elohim. You can always reach me at 347-559-4291. If you want to ask me a question, give me a comment, or you can reach me on Facebook, Sankofa Infinity. You can also email me. I am Sankofa9@gmail.com. So be well, stay blessed, stay focused, and continue to create the reality in which you want to create, and create it on purpose. I'm going to leave you with Clark Sisters again, and I'll see you once again on Sunday. Be blessed. Namaste.
He brought me through hard trials. He brought me through tribulation. Never let a day go by and I realize, had not been for the Lord who was on my side, back was against the wall, looked out for me. He heard my cry and rescued me. Never let a day go by and I realize.
I just want you to think about it for a moment. It could have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me. If it wasn't for the blood, it could have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me. If it wasn't for the blood, it could have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me. If it wasn't for the blood, it should have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me.